Now, if you guys got time, if you just read, there's a chapter in the book for meaning. I don't know what chapter it is anymore, but I got about five. If you just read the first chapter, you'll go, oh, I see what has to happen in people's brains.
Yeah.
And it's and once you get it, people go, well, is it complicated? No, it's really simple. Just nobody's laid it out where I get, oh, if I'm not firing meaning, I don't get enough dopamine. I don't get enough action. And I don't get enough action. I don't get enough feedback. So my guy's not going to learn like I want him to.
Right.
Yeah. So you were talking earlier about homeschool kids. And so what is the new method? I mean, cracking the learning code, the science that is transforming how the world learns and motivates and changes. We've talked a little bit about the science. You talked a little bit about the experience, like the going out in the real world. But can you give us some examples of how you might teach history to a homeschool kid?
Yeah. So
in a way that they actually learn it.
So let's come up and get a little higher view from above.
Okay.
So what happens is, first, we have to recognize that what way we're doing it now is not working like we want it to. We just got to come to that realization.
Right.
And the best thing to happen in a way was COVID, because it showed how the systems we're using aren't working online. But the truth is, they didn't work that well in the classroom.
Yeah.
You know, think of all the crap we forgot. So, so anyhow, to come back to it, let me go back to that story. So let's say that I wanted to teach somebody something about this insular cortex and story, right?
Yeah.
We do. So I got ahead of myself. Let me step back again. So what we talk about is above the line and below the line. Below the line is everything the school system does now. They give you tests. They make you read books. There's a curriculum. You know, there's laws that you have to comply with. There's things that you have to do below the line. We're not that kind of company. We call ourselves an above the line company. What we do is we deal with your mindset before you do anything below the line. So the problem is, we can't deal with anybody's mindset by saying, here's what you need to do to get kids to learn, and it's a 700-page book. Right? It's not going to work. Yeah. Right?
Right.
Now, yeah, you'll get some great stuff from it, and you'll go, oh, let's do this. I mean, there's 1,400 footnotes. There's a lot of things that'll help you figure out what to do. But the most important part is, how do we get masses to change? Well, what we found is that if you can take 3 to 7 minutes for that story, and what we say is, look, we explain the insular cortex and the child's brain and story. It's already there. You may not have been using it. My kids went to a school and they were forced to read stories that they didn't want to read. So I say, look, what we want to do is we want to figure out what stories are most meaningful to your child right now in their life. So what I want you to do with your 3 to 7 minutes, you can go online, you can go to the bookstore. I want you and your child to pick out a book that's most meaningful to them, not you. And I don't care whether it's Avengers, whether it's Star Wars, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to go with, and this really helps for kids that didn't. My son was almost 11 before he read. I was 13. I'm so dyslexic.
Wow.
So, yeah. So the school kept forcing him to read books. I got him a book that he liked to read. And within 4 months, he had jumped 3 grades in reading. Book on me. And yeah. So you go out, you find the book with your child, and then you bring it back, and then you start having discussions about why he loves that book, mm-hmm. What's important about it. Just go a little deeper. We call it peeling the onion. Mm-hmm. And as you start feeling more, let's say it's Star Wars, right? And then when I know what is meaningful to my child in this kind of story arena, because it's all really connected, it'll be what we call holographic. He'll have whatever he says about that story will also be important in other parts of his life. Mm-hmm. What we would do is say, okay, now let's say this, it was a Star Wars story or a new Star Wars. So how does a lightsaber work? Well, let's go on and look at the math of a lightsaber. Let's look at the chemistry of a lightsaber. Let's look at the physics of a lightsaber. Your kid is going to be glued in. You know it's meaningful to them. And then we call it wrapping. You wrap the information they need to know in whatever the curriculum is. So if you know they've got a find a story they like, wrap it, and then figure out what the curriculum is and wrap it into the curriculum. Mm-hmm. It's a piece of cake.
That makes so much sense.
Oh, yeah.
And the structure, see, how I, remember, the structures that have meaning are already Velcro.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So all I do is, I don't have to memorize, I throw it in there, it's going to stick. Now, you know, it's not 100%, but you're doing much better than you are on all that memorization stuff.
No, I mean, I can literally see that in my mind's eye. Like, you have a kid that loves Star Wars, lightsabers. You start throwing physics...
It'll
stick.
Yeah.
And they'll tell their friends about how a lightsaber needs whatever, blah, 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 exactly. That'll sound super technical, but I can totally, I mean, cars, I think, is another great example. Oh. Like, people who love cars and mechanics, right?
Yeah.
If you can wrap a metaphor, I know when I do coaching, I'm also a life coach. If I can find a metaphor that matches something they love in their life and try to get that point across that way, like, man, they get it like that.
Yeah. So Sean, I could address kind of what you're talking about there. So in coaching, a lot of times what we do is we tell, mm-hmm. You know, I was a coach. I was a football coach for a while. I was a track coach in Africa. I've been a big athlete. I played my last rugby game when I was 68.
Goodness, so, wow.
And I ripped my ACL and my MCL. So part of me is glad I did. The other part of me, well, that wasn't such a good idea. But anyway, but what I found is that coaches are so busy telling that they don't get this whole wrapping technique and finding out what's meaningful. I was just looking at a coach who was having problems with a kid, and not once did he ask the kid why he wanted to be a great football player? Because that's what's driving the child, right?
Right.
And then we start, once I understand why, and here's the fascinating thing. We call it peeling the onion. We might say, why do you want to be rich when you're a coach? So we say, okay, I can help people get rich because everybody wants to get rich. Mm-hmm. But really the question is, what's under it? Again, peel the onion. Why do you want to be rich? Now, for somebody, they may say, because I want to have a big house. Somebody else may say the same thing. But let's say person A says, I want to have a big house because I need to be safe because I was abused when I was a kid. And the stronger my walls are, the safer I feel and the better work I can do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other guy may say is because it makes me look good and I can pick up a lot of chicks when I have a really good house.
Yeah,
well, it makes a difference, right?
Absolutely.
And then what you want to do is you want to peel even more. Why do you want to be safe? And then why do you want to, why do you want to have more chicks in your life? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
When we can get granular like that, then, and Sean, you're a copy dude. When we refine our copy, we can be so much more pinpointed because we took the time. In the old days, we called them focus groups. Now you can just go on the web and practically pull off what's important to people.
Right.
And so once we understand what is most meaningful to our customer at this peeled onion level, not just money, not just wealth, not a big car, but the why underneath it, holy moly. You'll start to see people move. Like Jonathan spoke to me the other day about a woman that we helped that had a very nice social media company. Within 18 months, her business increased over 1,000%. Yeah. How did that happen? Because she crafted her message to meet the mindset of her customer.
We teased that. So you gotta give us a little more detail on that. I want you to.
Yeah. So she's great. So Ann Gray, what I did was to do this. I didn't want to just hire people that knew how to market on the web. I developed a few businesses that were leaders in their field on the web, in the veterinary business and health business. Mm-hmm. And I wanted people that resonated with this information, but were avid learners. So I've got about 7 people that helped do marketing. I went and spent time with each one of them to say how they could apply it to their business. Because applying it to somebody else's business, you don't have a meaning network for that. You may like me, but you'd rather apply it to your business, right? Mm-hmm. So you can see returns right away.
Yep.
So I went and sat down with all of them, spent 3 or 4 days flat around the world. And with Ann, she's social media. She had about, I forget, she'd known about 30,000 a year. Are you familiar with the cash flow quadrant that Kiyosaki talks about?
Yeah.
So for everybody here, it's kind of a square. Up one side is employee, down here is self-employed. Up here is entrepreneur, and down here is investor.
Yeah.
Well, in my world, where you make money is the entrepreneur, because that's the only place you got leverage. On that up, on the right side, you got leverage too as an investor. On the left side, there's just your sweat equity. There's just your time. And so what we found was that if we could get people to understand what was most meaningful to them, put it in a process in where they were able to hit what's meaningful to their customer, and put it into this information action feedback where they really did something in the real world, then their sales went through the roof. So I did that with Ann. And I said, okay, what do you want to do? She was on Upwork, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, let's go through what's most meaningful to you, what's most meaningful to your customer, and go to peel the onion really deep, because money's important to you, Ann. Something else is. She's very religious. She's God-driven. And so we got down to, God relationship to her. Then we went to her customers, found what's meaningful to them. Then we circled the words in the copy that matched. And she did. I had her take 10 days or 3 weeks to do this. I don't want people to rush. I want them to be in alpha state, these slower wave states. I had to put it in her phone or write it by her bed or in her bathroom, wherever she was. Just keep writing it down. We refined it, and then we rebranded her using that. We put her on Upwork, and now she's in the top 1% of all people on Upwork, and she's doing over $250,000 this year.
Wow.
Just like that.
Yeah.
And really, it's not magic. Yeah. All she did was take what was meaningful to her, what was most meaningful to her customers, and use a little of the science to tie it together.
And she's probably working, less, or maybe there's a lot less
easier.
Well, I'd like to say yes.
Working
so
less,
here's the problem. I got really good with her, the marketing stuff. Now we've got to get into the internal which she and I are doing now, matter of fact, the internal operations, so her existing systems can handle the stress. She just picked up 4 new clients today. So the existing system, we're putting in the policies, the procedures, and all of those things. And more importantly, who you hire.
Yeah.
You have to hire people that resonate with your mission.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And resonate with your meaning. That's why I think it's so important that people, if you are going to be an employee and work for somebody, the culture and why they're doing things has to match.
Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to find.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm working with a company that's pretty well. I get a lot of these bigger companies. Truth is, I like working with the smaller ones because it's like clay. We're willing to shift. When you're bigger, you've got all these departments. Well, if we move, I did something with one company, a very big health company, and they loved the idea and what we were going to do, and they just couldn't get it up the totem pole. Even though they knew it, because they were at the bottom of the totem pole to train doctors really to wash their hands. That's a big problem in hospitals. I don't know if you know this. But we came up with a system that really worked well. And they just said, it's not even worth it to try.
Wow.
And that's what happens in a lot of our companies. Mm-hmm. The culture is so concrete that it's not a learning culture. It's not an accepting culture.
Yeah.
So you got to think about, where do I want to work? And the other thing was, what we got now is, with the web, you can be an entrepreneur. You can move from that self-employed or employee thing right up to that right side of the quadrant where you are an entrepreneur. You can do it pretty quickly now.
Yeah. And I think that's good though. Like, what I'm hearing you say is, and this has been the story of my life. Like, if you chase the money as an entrepreneur, solopreneur, because you want the money and you haven't discovered your own meaning, you're just going to hit roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And you're going to be like, I can't figure out why this doesn't work. I mean, am I correct in saying that? Like, you got to tap into the meaning first. And then we hear that, like, purpose, passion.
Everybody talks about it, but nobody takes the time to figure out, what is my passion other than money?
Right.
So
when you say meaning, you are saying also passion, purpose.
All that is connected. Yeah. You don't have any passion or purpose without meaning.
Okay.
There's a reason you got passion is to get more of what's meaningful. The reason you got purpose to get more. Always starts at meaning.
Okay. So how do you crack that? I mean, I know you said you had a couple chapters on that, but for the listeners.
Yeah.
So what can they do to really, because it sounds like everything you're talking about revolves around your meaning, and then you can link it to.
So let me just go back. How much time do we have so I don't riff off in the wrong direction here?
We're good. We had a pretty sizable technical delay in the middle. So when we splice this together, we'll.
That was me.
I think we'll be fine.
I think I get the award for screw up technical.
We can blame it on the internet. That's too big to argue with.
Yeah. So the question you just asked me was,
how do you find your own meaning?
Yeah. So first of all, you have to recognize that you don't know.
Okay.
Right. It's awareness. And so and then you have to go back and look at your life and say, what have I been chasing that didn't work? This is going to give you real enlightenment. Mm-hmm. So let me explain a little bit at the science a little deeper, going to quantum physics and complexity theory. Have you ever walked into a room of depressed people and they don't have to say anything? And how do you feel?
Depressed. Yeah.
Yeah. It just sucks the life out of you.
Yeah. Happy people, they don't have to say much. You feel happy. Now, how does that work? Now, we don't cover this much in the book because it's a whole nother book, really.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's the quantum physics of vibratory frequency. Mm-hmm. Literally, there's no real color on that bookshelf behind you, Jonathan. The color is all in your head. There's just atoms vibrating into a certain frequency on those book covers that's giving you the illusion of color in your visual cortex. So really all we're doing is walking through daily vibratory frequency, not only other vibratory frequencies. And this is why I want to live by the ocean. I want to live by the mountain. We got different vibratory frequencies, right? That resonate with different tonality. And so what we found was that if I can hold on to a belief that is purposefully mine at a deep level, I literally start to act like an antenna. Now this gets out there. This is why it isn't in this book. Everything else is in this book is bulletproof. This is too, but it comes from the Copenhagen Agreement that a whole bunch of people back in the day, you know, Einstein and a bunch of other people put together. And so what we find is that my own vibratory frequency that I hold on to acts like an antenna and pulls more things with it. Now, and interesting, why are the three of us talking to one another? Well, I didn't want to put the antenna out because I was getting overwhelmed with stuff. So I hid the research we were doing in the book for 30 years, except for some companies we work with, because we couldn't deal with it. We were overwhelmed.
Right.
But I spent a lot of time getting clear what was important to me. And when you come to the bottom, it's not money. It's about changing the way people learn so we can all get more of what we want to have in our lives so we'll be fulfilled, so we don't have to kill the other guy to get what he's got that we don't. Right? Yeah. I mean, the world we create is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, to go back to you, what you're saying, once you can get meaning and you start peeling the onion and then you see, like, I won't do anything just for money. Now, trust me, back in the day, I did everything for money.
Sure. Yeah.
And now my life is the people I'm attracting, but what I'm doing is it's leading to money.
Right.
Right.
Right. So I'm very clear on who I want to work with, who I want to be with. I mean, I want to work with obviously everybody. You can't do that. But the people that show up in my life, I trust the universe at the moment and I just go with them. See what happens. And so far, it's been wonderful.
Well, it's so like the example you just shared with the, the client you worked with that was on
Upwork. And social media. Yeah.
And
she obviously, you know, you sat down with her and you spent some time with her and she defined, you know, what she wanted to be, who she wanted to work with.
Exactly.
And
the joy, how do you want to, my other big question is, what do you want to feel like when you wake up in the morning?
Yeah.
If I can get those five things, then we just create systems, structures, marketing, and branding to get you that.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings up a question that I think a lot of people struggle with. So is this meaning, purpose, whatever we, you know, the meaning.
Yeah, all of it, yeah.
Is it hardwired or do you think it's created? Like, do we choose it or is it hardwired?
That's a great question, Jonathan. it's a really good. So here's what happens. There's two levels of structural change.
Okay.
One comes when, it's called meiosis, when the sperm hits the egg and you, and all of a sudden cells start growing and a baby starts, right?
Right.
It's a really complicated system that we don't think about. To make sure that no two people on the face of the earth have the same thing meaningful to them or the same fingerprints or the same irises, there's a level of scrambling that goes on before the sperm is packed in, is made, and before the egg is made. So the mother's genes get scrambled and the father's genes get scrambled, one in the egg, one in the sperm. Then they come together, they get scrambled again to make sure there can be no two of the same anything on the face of the earth. Even identical twins have different neurological structures.
Right.
Because our evolution, God, whoever you want to look at, nature, has seen that the more diverse, the greater the survival strategies are. Mm-hmm. But we have a problem. Now you're born with this overabundance of neurons in one part of your brain that gives you a gift of meaning that forces you to find things, like we were saying, whether it's soldiers or whether it's music or whether it's painting, to select this in as you're a child running around doing it. Mm-hmm. But now we say, okay, Bobby, no more running around, no more Sean, no more doing that stuff with you were doing that you really have. You sit in that chair for 18 years. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to take the blood flow from your carotid and vertebral arteries that naturally go to that gift of yours that makes you a genius, is something none of the other 7.5 billion of us are. And I'm going to redirect that blood flow away from your gift for the next 18 years. And I'm going to send it over here to where finite math and language are, where our school system is.
Oh, I feel that. Man,
no doubt.
That landed right there.
What do you think happens to that gift?
Yeah.
It literally starts to atrophy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So now you're 15, 17, wherever you are, getting out of junior high or 18, you're getting out of high school or getting out of college and you're 23. Okay, Jonathan, what do you want to be?
Yeah.
I want to be the thing I was at five.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's so interesting because a friend of mine, we talk about this all the time. We're like, if you can find out what people wanted to be when they were 8, 10, that's kind of the age we figured out. Like, you had some schooling, but you weren't quite indoctrinated yet.
Yeah.
that's pretty close probably to what you should be doing as a career. Like whatever you did for pretend and play.
Yes.
As a 8 to 10 year old is probably pretty close. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you're right on. Like I have two sons. One was an artist. He was doing sculptures forever. Mm-hmm. And the other one is still doing music in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine that I'm talking about, he used to have with his buddies, they would do a pretend radio station. And now he does podcasts. Like his podcasts are great. And like that's what he does. Like, and meaningful. It's absolutely effortless for him for the most part.
Mm-hmm. And here's another thing that happens when you hit meaning. When you hit meaning, it fires this cheese. It acts like Velcro. Your ability to be creative are so much greater because your brain is able to select things in that match up with it quicker.
Right.
And so once you understand what's meaningful at a deeper level, you can just keep jamming it in there. Like in one part of my life, I thought money was important. You know, I had the house in Kahala. I had the penthouse in Waikiki. I had a lot of crap. And I just wanted more crap.
Yeah.
So you think it, to just go back, if you had to say, is it hardwired or is it chosen?
Oh yeah, I got off track there. Sorry, buddy.
That's right.
I can do that. So what happens is you're born with this gift, right? Mm-hmm. It's forcing you to seek these things out up until you're 7 or 8 or 9. It's always there seeking it. It just kind of gets dimmer as you get older if it's not satiated. Now, teachers are very lucky because they're in a good environment, get satiated. But in people that like math, that's a good place too. But for the rest of us, about 90% of us, not so great. So what's happening is you've got this genetic program laid down that's making music or words or something meaningful to you. Then right. you stick this genetic program into an environment, whether it's Poland, whether it's China, whether it's Cleveland. And then what the brain does is it acts like a sponge. It takes what's already meaningful to you from a genetic level that's built structures. And then what it does is it opens up, and then the new stuff that comes in bonds to the structures that are already there. So now you've got new meaning for you that is encoded by your environment. And it's the reason that Polish people like sausage and Japanese people like sushi. They both like food, right? Which is meaningful to them, but the environment dictated what it would be.
Sure. So to go back to my example, 30 years ago, you might want to be a radio broadcaster, DJ. Today, you'd want to be a podcast host, mm-hmm. right? Or something like that. You might have wanted to write fiction, but you could still do that. But you might have wanted to write short stories. Today, you might write a blog. Because the environment would lend itself to that.
You're structured. Now, before we do this, there are some people, like one of my sons, he had a little seismic shift after he was about 11. There's these windows of learning opportunity. They okay. start opening and closing. It's the reason you can crawl before you walk. You babble before you can talk. There's windows that are opening up all the time. For some of us, a window that will open up that will shift what was meaningful to us at 7 somewhat. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot, but enough that you, oh, well, you know, that was meaningful to me at 7, but now that I'm 11 or 12, not as much, but really it is connected in this way. So you'll start to see
Is it more of a fine tuning than a shift?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But you got to start, and here's where we think about this. So you've got this group of structures, you got more neurons in one part of your brain that nobody else in the classroom has. And your teacher never asked you what's meaningful to you.
Right.
All she's got to do is ask you what is meaningful and then wrap the new information she wants you to learn in what's already meaningful. Very easy. And it's what we should be doing on our learning programs online.
Right.
But which we don't do.
Right. Yeah, because if you could, I guess the question then is like, I know we could probably have another show on this, but like, and this is meaningful to me. This kind of stuff is like meaningful to me. So that's why even though Jonathan has to go to the bathroom, I don't have to.
And I'm just using the Motorman's helper. So we're all good.
Yeah. So like, I love this type of stuff. Learning is a big thing for me. Like I could learn all day about this type of stuff, quantum physics, all the stuff we've been talking about.
Right.
I know with a lot of the neuroplasticity and stuff like that, like we've learned that you can learn longer than we thought we could. So how do you tap back into it at 50, you know,
piece of cake, really. So this is why we've got these online programs to help you shift that. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's say that we were working together. Let's just do this for a minute. What's most meaningful to you right now in your life?
The thing that keeps coming back to is I just want to teach people to be the person they were created to be.
Okay. So what does that mean for that person?
I think they'd be happier.
Right.
They would be less stressed.
Right.
They would have, more fun.
Right.
And that's true for myself as well. So
yeah.
So a lot less stress, more fun.
Yeah. So what happens in your life when you have more fun?
I was going to say I have more fun, but, I guess it's, everything feels a bit lighter.
You feel content.
It's easy.
Content. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Content, fulfilled.
Well, we would work on these words, Sean. Mm-hmm. Then what we're going to do is we're going to figure out that's what's most meaningful to you, right?
Right.
And we're going to figure out if there's a segment of the customer marketplace that's meaningful to also.
Probably a few.
A bazillion, right?
Then
we're going to develop a proprietary system for Sean, a And John's going to, if he wants to help you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pack it into the 3 to 7 minute thing. And we're going to say, if you want more joy, more happiness, more fulfillment, more wealth in your life, this is the first scientific-based program in the world that only 3 to 7 minutes a day will give you what you want.
Boom.
Done. Yeah. I mean, I've done so many startups, guys. I've screwed it up so many times.
I was listening to a thing yesterday on my walk, and it was Jim Rohn, who I love, right? Rohn stuff. Ukraine. And he's like, why don't we ever have seminar, like full day seminars from 40-year-old guys who have failed at everything in life? Like, why don't we have seminars from those guys where we can just say, okay, tell me everything you did.
So I don't have to do it.
You know, it's like, because there's so much to learn there, right? Why? From the failures.
I think we've got a whole new seminar series here.
Yeah. Instead of Peter Lowe,
you can lose from.
Yeah. Instead of Peter Lowe series where everybody's successful, we'll do a,
I like it.
We'll do a Sean McCool series where everybody on the stage is a failure.
I'm ready.
I'll be the keynote.
I can help.
Oh yeah.
But
because people give me crap that know me, go, JW, you talk about the 25 startups that work. What about those 7 that blew up in your face?
Yeah.
And they're right.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I've just finished an autobiography on a big entrepreneur who's very successful business owner. And it's almost like the first 3/4 of the entire book is on his failures, which is actually quite refreshing. And
I was going to say refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah. Very refreshing because you could relate to him. I mean, he was completely an open book on everything he did wrong, not only from his business failures, but also his personal failures and dealing with addictions and things like that. So he was completely transparent. But he kind of built you. I mean, obviously the whole book's leading up to the pinnacle where things change in his life. But even in that, there were ups and downs along the way. So it's
the idea that life is like this. Nature doesn't work like it's like this.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's why Shoe Dog by Phil Knight was such a good book.
Sure.
It had that same this is real life. Like,
yeah. Now I'm on top. I just won the championship. Now I'm on the bottom. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we don't see enough of that on Instagram for sure. So,
and here's the interesting thing. The reason a lot of people are paying attention to a lot of the stuff we do now, I think, quite frankly, is because our own vibratory frequency of what we're doing. We're not trying to really help people. We're trying to make money. So I can be, we're not trying to make money. We're trying to fulfill people. So that fulfills me.
Right.
And then when I'm getting fulfilled, I act like an antenna and bring in more information that can help me be fulfilled that I can help more people with.
Right.
So if you chase the material ball, the money, the house, the car, it's okay to chase that if you know why you're chasing it underneath it. Mm-hmm. But if you're just chasing the material thing, my experience of doing this a long time is the universe doesn't support that.
No.
Yeah.
It's short lived, right? I mean, because you gotta have some meaning behind it.
Or it's very difficult to keep it.
You gotta keep it. You gotta hold on to it.
The momentum to keep it going. Whereas if you're, to use the term flow, if you're in that flow state, because there's meaning all that stuff. Because a lot of the chemicals you talk about are the same ones that whatever Csikszentmihalyi or whatever his name is talked about in flow state. Like,
Interesting thing, where Csikszentmihalyi, where he is at, he's at Claremont University, which. Mm-hmm. We were not necessarily going to universities first. We were going to go to the common man and then go into universities. Well, a friend of mine who works with Robert Kiyosaki, he knows the lady that was head of DeLacy, who was the head of kind of Claremont Education. He sent her one of the first editions of the book before we had it out. And she said, this is going to change learning forever. So when you finish one of our courses, you get a certificate from Claremont University. Now, the first ones are for teachers and homeschool parents, but we may do other ones also. So, because the advantage is if you go through this cracky learning code for homeschool parents, we didn't do it just for the parent. We found there were 3 levels. I mean, just for the kid. Yes, there was the stuff that the kid needed to learn above the line to get their mindset. But then we went, well, if the parent learns all this stuff, they can apply it to their nonprofit, their corporation, all their stuff. Right. So we then wrapped into this. So when you get this cracking learning code for homeschool parents, it also shows you how to crack your own learning code and the learning code in any organization you're in.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool. Well, we could probably talk all day about this stuff, but we should probably start wrapping up, and let's.
There's one last thing I want to mention, and it's at the tail end of the book. By the way, I ordered it. I think Sean ordered a copy already. I ordered a copy at the beginning of this podcast because I when you're talking 700 pages, I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. So
yeah, but you don't have to do that. If you'll just read the back cover, you can read the first three chapters.
That's why I ordered the book, so I could read the back cover.
Yeah, they don't show it very well on Amazon.
I know. Yeah. It's a little fuzzy.
Exactly. So if you don't really, and here's the other thing. And when you're reading it, go into those, read the first three chapters. It just shows you why the whole thing is, the whole system's a mess.
Right.
But then get into the solution. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get into the problem, the pain first, then get into the solution. If you just read those first 10 pages and then in each chapter, and then don't just read it, go, oh, what could I do today in my life that would make that happen? Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Now we're getting to process based learning. You're looking at something, some information, then you're going out in the real world, taking action, getting feedback and incubation. We call it the cycle of transformation, which we have on the website. And so once you're into it, this makes it easier.
Well, that's one thing I wanted to touch on real quick before we end up, because it really caught my eye near the end of the book. You talk about the incubation period, and you talk about like sleep as an important part of that. Can you kind of touch on that before we kind of wrap up?
We have understood there's about five sleep states: alpha, theta, delta one, delta two, and REM sleep. Mm-hmm. Right, and they're different waveforms, they're different chemical systems, but you can't get information solidly implanted into your working memory without going through these stages, and REM is very important, rapid eye movement stage. And so what we do is, when we drink a lot of alcohol, we do dope, we do those things, when we work too much too, stress and drugs and alcohol interrupt these stages. You may be passed out, but you're not going through the stages. You may have smoked a doobie before you want to go to sleep, but you're not in those stages. So what happens is the learning isn't as efficient. So we need a lot of sleep, because literally what you're doing is you're building new structures. Your brain takes 30% of all your energy.
Sure.
So sleep is one of the most important incubation stages that you can go into. And without sleep, you literally can't learn. And so you want to use the right kind of foods. I'm a big believer in homeopathics for sleep, for anxiety, those kind of things. You don't want to take too many drugs if you don't have to. Now, a lot of us are addicted to coffee. You know, how late do I not drink my cup of coffee? You know, biological people, we're different. Some people stop at noon. Some people at 6 o'clock at night. So we just need to look at those, because what we really want is we want our quality of sleep as high as we can possibly get it. Because then our creativity is up, our ability to see bad guys in the environment is up, so we make less mistakes. It's just so much better for us.
Is it quality and quantity? I mean, is the emphasis more on the quality than the quantity?
Unfortunately, it's tied together. You're in beta state. These are your waves are going 30 cycles a second or even faster. You're focused on this call. Then you start to go to sleep. And you start to go into alpha, theta, delta. These waves slow down in your brain.
Yeah.
Causes cross communication between hemispheres, between the lower and the upper part of your brain. It starts going slower. And then when you get into the REM sleep, this thing called acetylcholine, this neurotransmitter comes forward and literally not only increases the creativity within you by giving you more new relationships between neurons. Mm-hmm. It cements the neurons that you just tried to get the learning from during the day that's going to help you the most. So it's quality and quantity.
Yeah, this is something I'm really excited about is we've been testing this in our house. So like we have grounding sheets, you know, and we just put them back on, you know, they come on and off because we only have one set. And I tell you what, like the last three nights, like, and I now have a Garmin that has like one of the things in it. It monitors HRV and has a body battery. So you wake up and you know where your battery is for the day. And the last three nights it has been, I've started at like 85 or 90, whereas before I was like, you know, 60-70% just by having like the grounding sheets and, you know, I take a bunch of supplements, but that was a big one. And then there's all this new wearables that not only tracks your stuff, but there's new wearables that this really excites me. Like wearables that actually influence your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my wife and daughter just got, can't remember the name of it, but, it's a wristband that you wear and it actually sends out vibrational that you can feel to manipulate your nervous system in these different frequencies. And they have been sleeping so much better since they.
Yeah. A lot of people have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you know what that is, but basically you stop breathing, you don't have any oxygen. Oh, yeah. So you wake up to get it.
Yeah.
And that's a terrible thing that a lot of us have that we're not aware of it. So, you know, you call it sleep hygiene, you can call it, you know, beauty sleep, whatever you want to call it. But we need to spend a lot more time with that. Because here's what happens. We think that the way we get more done is by getting more things done.
It reminds me, I remember reading, I think it was Woodrow Wilson, one of our, you know, past presidents. People used to make fun of him because I think he slept like, 13 hours. Okay. Yeah. And some people mark that as like a weakness, where, you know, that actually wasn't a weakness on his part. You know, it made him more effective.
Well, you know, it's funny because like people idolize like lions and like as this alpha thing, but lions sleep 23 hours a day. Like,
they only whip the head off the gazelles for an hour a day and then they go back to sleep.
Yeah, and it's probably every third day. It's not even every day. I mean, they're pretty lazy animals, actually.
Yeah, they are.
But they're, you know, even Eric Thomas, and you know, he's made a whole career about like you got to get up and go after the gazelle. Like whoever's running first is going to survive. And I'm like, it's not how nature actually works, but okay.
And we can burn ourselves. And this is what we have to do. It's really kind of it's much more intuitive than we think. Is what I'm doing now making me happy or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so simple.
Yeah. But what we do is we go, oh, if I just work harder, if I just do more, if I just get that extra 200,000 or sell that business for $1 million, I'll be happy. But I got 1,000 friends. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the core. Let's get happy now. Change our lives now. Then we'll start attracting to us what really makes us happy.
Right. And then you can create whatever you want because you're operating out of that meaning space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me that there's a great song and it's from an old business, you know, motivational speaker series, but like Kenny Chesney has a song, Live Like Jose. And it's the old thing where the business person goes down in Mexico and the fisherman has the boat and like, why don't you get 3 boats or 6 boats and build a fleet and hire people? And he's like, man, I just like fishing and going home and hanging out at the bar and making love to my wife every night. Like that's pretty good.
I know that one. Yeah. But we think we can get happier by getting more stuff.
Yeah. And I think, at least at my, I'm 50 this year, just, you know, turned 50 back in March. Like, it's really coming home that like, I just want to do what makes me happy. Like, you know, that's what I'm trying to get to anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then here's the fascinating thing. If we can start now doing what makes us happy, then the unit, it just all starts coming and everybody goes work, 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 push the, push the ball up the hill, Sisyphus. You know, yeah. Push that rock to the top. Now it'll roll back down, but then you can push it back up again.
Yeah.
Not a great strategy.
Yeah. Nope. Well, we'll definitely, I think Jonathan and I, but we're both getting the book. So we're going to, we'll dive into it and then we'll probably have you back on when we can talk more intelligently and dive in. Definitely want to dive into marketing a little bit more specifically and have you back on then.
And I wouldn't even mind talking, never know why the universe jams people together here, but I'm wondering, there may be some ways that we can use this together to help other people. I mean, you guys have got the talents,
Yeah. And
there may be ways to leverage this. Could be interesting.
Oh, absolutely. I'm open to that. Yeah. Cause I love everything that I've heard from you and what you're about. This stuff, I could read about quantum physics all day, and I hated chemistry and physics and everything in high school. Yeah. Right. But when you tie it to like how the brain works, that for me, that meaning center of teaching and communicating and words, like all that has meaning to me.
Yeah.
And if my chemistry teacher had kind of put brain chemistry into it, I would have sat up and listened. I know that's very hard to do in a class of 30 people with 30.
It's not. We'll get into that next time. We're working with Masters Academy in Canada. We're working with a lot of schools.
That I definitely want to hear about.
Yeah.
How do you scale? I was going to ask that earlier. How do you scale it? But we'll save that for another episode.
Okay.
Cause I think that'd be fun. Cause I think that could apply to marketing as well. Like how do you scale meaning to other people?
And what I'd like to ask, you guys got the book, and I'm at my producer's house, so I usually have a book. I can show you what I was talking about. But I wouldn't mind it if, when you read a few chapters in it, go into Amazon and say something nice on the thing there.
Be happy to.
It's not, it is a self-promotion, but the way you get Amazon to pay attention and the world to pay attention is sticking those testimonials on there. Yeah. So. I know it sounds self-serving, but I want it to be globally because I want as many people in the world to have this information as we can.
Absolutely.
So we don't have to deal with all the pain we're dealing with.
Well, this resonates. I'm pulling up the, there you go.
Yeah.
No, this, I mean, JW, this resonates with us, from not only from a business standpoint, but like I said, Sean's got, he's got kids. Of course, his are a little bit older. But, whether you're in school, in grade school, in high school, or your secondary education, or your post-secondary education, you're just learning, man. You want to improve your situation. This is good stuff. So,
yeah.
We want to have you on. We want to have you back on because... in my mind,
I'll be back, man. Yeah, love you guys. Appreciate it. Yeah. So appreciate the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap it there. We'll come back with I think a good title would be how to scale meaning and purpose.
Yeah.
In your brand or something like that.
Yeah. Let's hype it up a little bit. Yeah.
All right.
And that's stuff I want to know. So, all right. Well, Jonathan, I'll let you sign us off, and then JW, hold on just a second because we want to say a couple things. We'll put you back in the green room and then just hold tight.
Thanks, JW.
We'll pull you back up here in a second. Sean, that was fascinating.
Dude, I could go 3 hours on that one. I know. That's almost like a Tim Ferriss, Tom, what his name is. Like, that's some good stuff there.
Well, I mean, we've had hundreds of guests on our show, literally. Yeah. And I would say, JW is probably in the top 5 to 10. Fascinating. I could talk about this forever. So
I mean, he needs to work on his tech skills, but other than that,
that's
good stuff.
Well, yeah. So, we'll probably break this up. Obviously this will be like a 2-part episode, given the fact that we're almost at a 2-hour and I'll have some editing done on the front end, but we'll make this a 2-part episode. Good stuff. As always, you can find us over at persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your podcast platforms, Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Spotify, you name it, iTunes. I could keep going. You can find us there. Just do a quick search, Persuasion by the Pint. Yeah, it's been fun, and I guess we'll see you guys next week. Sean, it's been fun.
Absolutely. See you.